I was just mentioning to Josh White Jr. That's okay. Anything you need to do. How I said it's not often I gush. I guess I do. I'm always appreciative of every single human being we have that shares from their heart and brain and life experience, whether it be the high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors that were with us an hour ago, or Nico, who you met just a few moments ago, an elementary school student. I'm always appreciative of it. But here you've got a man who, and forgive me, Josh, I mean, he's a link to an incredible legacy in his dad, Josh White, who, for folks who don't know, I just always say, you know, a contemporary of Lead Belly. And in his own right, he also is an incredible link to my childhood, perhaps yours. And I'm just thrilled to have him here with us. We'll talk a bit about what he's up to. He's still incredibly active. He's in to do some house concerts and another appearance or two. I think you were up in Aliquippa last night. And let's let you meet him musically first, and then we'll talk a bit in honor. Josh White Jr.
Think of all the things the world's gone through. Years of rage and hatred, killing people because they are a different color than you. Then starting a war, then doing the same thing, then dropping a bomb over millions of people so you can say it's over. Victory to our people. But people don't think about that now. All they want is the here and now. People don't think about that now. All they want is the here and now. It's all about money, cars, and jewels, no matter how you got it, because it's cool. Oh, then you'll think you're on top of the world, till you feel that bullet hit your back. Your mom and sister, they can't believe that. I still don't know why it happens. Instead of love and peace, they've got weapons. It's brother against brother, man versus man, woman versus woman. Will it ever end? I hope it ends soon, 'cause I don't want to raise my kids to carry a gun like I had to.
Josh White Jr., tell me about that song. How old is it?
Larry, a friend of mine named Mike Ball in Michigan, where I live.
I was thinking you were in Chicago. My apologies.
No problem, no problem. Listen, yeah. For years people thought my dad and I came from Chicago. We used to be there so much.
Yeah.
But I was born and raised in New York City. My dad was from Greenville, South Carolina, and then eventually settled in New York.
Yeah, are you in Detroit?
Or... I'm in Michigan now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it was because Rich and I were talking about so many Chicago musicians and you in the same conversation.
No problem, no problem.
But anyway, you were mentioning Mike Ball?
Yeah, this man, Mike Ball, who was a poet and a novelist, and he started going into this place called the Maxie Boys Facility, which is a lockdown facility for young boys from the age of 11 to 21. and he wanted to bring root music. He was asked to bring root music into it. And I was nervous about doing it because folk music and teenagers can be a bad marriage if they did not grow up with it. And I'm not going to subject myself to it if I have a choice. But I wanted them to want to hear this music, to expand their musical abilities to hear and listen. So we turned out that we did, in fact, go into this school, and we took about, we've done it three times over the years, take about 9 or 10 young men and sit around in a semicircle and just talk about things. And because they all did rap. We wanted to get them away from rap. We said we're going to try and do a song, and we got topics, and maybe we get a line. This young kid over here would say a line that we thought, all right, let's write that down. Or that Mike and I go back, put it all together, and try and put music to it, and came up with their songs.
You know, as I was listening to that song, I noticed this delightful blend of energy, rhythmic energy, yet these incredibly deep, rooted words.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons I asked you that question, because it's just an incredible. I don't want to use the word fusion to describe music necessarily, but what I mean is the mixture.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I caught that immediately from the first couple sentences.
And I'll tell you, which was interesting for me, was I've done music all my life. I've not written a lot of songs have come through me. I normally say God put them through me, than me. I'm not like a Tom Paxton or somebody who sits down and works on writing a song. Normally, when a song comes out of me, pardon me, the music and the words seem to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ability is not something that I'm used to. But then to see these words, you want to make sure you put music that fits what they're trying to say also. And it seems to have worked so far.
Well, it's a blessing to be able to do that. And we do a lot of work with kids in schools where
excellent.
We often, and a lot of what you see hanging on the walls here, mm-hmm. we use microphones and talk about things and bring those recordings back in a way where they might be juxtaposed with one another or clarified to the point where the conversations are distilled such that people will listen a little bit more and understand what is being said. I mean, the original conversation is just fine, but mm-hmm. for the hard-hearted ears that need to hear it, it
yes.
sometimes needs to be distilled a bit.
I hear what you're saying.
So it's a gift to be able to do what you're doing like that. Just
well, I feel fortunate that that this is something, you know, again, I didn't choose this. I started singing with my dad at 4. I didn't say, Dad, I want to sing with you. He just decided to bring me along, and never ever doing anything else. It is my best form of expression, I guess.
Yeah. Your dad had to be... I just can't imagine what it would be like to play with your dad and to spend time with him.
You know what, though? But if you look at it through the son's eyes, it's just Dad.
Yeah.
Who does what he just does all the time. Ain't nothing new.
Yeah.
You know? So that was a thing. And I've run into a lot of people, as you speak, who look at that position that I had, you know, but they're looking at it from outside. And it's a different perspective from here. That was the old man.
Imagine your old man. I was talking with some people on our staff, and I was talking about you and talking about your dad, and on to YouTube we went. And, you know, some of your dad's 78s are there on YouTube, playing.
I very seldom go to YouTube, so when I hear stuff like that, that's, very good. That's good to know.
It's incredible.
Well, good to know.
And it's not some very kind people, you know, have photographed these 78s, and you watch them spin.
No kidding.
And there's your dad.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he sounds great.
Well, how cool that is.
Yeah, and there's some stuff from you there, too, but you've got a 5 CD anthology that's easy to get. And is a great way to support you, but it's not always that easy to find your dad's stuff, and I wanted people to at least understand who is this man.
Absolutely.
It's here.
Absolutely. I you know, when we were doing the thing yesterday, we talked about how my father got to meet the President of the United States due to singing against racism during World War II.
Wow. Incredible.
You know, he had to. He went to visit his brother, my uncle, in Fort Dix, New Jersey. We lived in New York. And, pardon me, my father's driving around the base trying to find my uncle's barracks. Passed a lot of wooden structures. No black soldiers. Kept on driving around. There were some wooden structures, pup tents. No black soldiers. Got to a place where there were just pup tents. That's all. And that's where all the black soldiers were. And my old man said to my Uncle Billy, he said, you know, you're probably doing maneuvers, and that's why they have you here. He said, no, Josh, we're here all the time. Then he wrote the song called Uncle Sam Says. Just to have, you got to put it out. You got to say it. You don't change things if you don't talk about it.
Do you know that song?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
This is Josh White Jr. I'm going to have to be so careful that I could talk with you for all of our time, and we won't get as much of you. We'll do it. We'll keep going as long as we can.
So here's my old man's Uncle Sam Says. Flying across the land and sea, everybody flying but a Negro like me. Uncle Sam says, your place is on the ground. When I fly my airplane, don't want no Negro round. Same thing for the Navy when ships go to sea. All they've got is a mess boy's job for me. Uncle Sam says, keep on your apron, son. You know I ain't gonna let you shoot my big Navy guns. Got my long government letter, my time to go. When I got to the Army, found that same old Jim Crow. Uncle Sam says, two camps for black and white. Ah, but when trouble starts, we'll all be in that same big fight. I think democracy is fine. I mean democracy without that color line. Uncle Sam says, we'll live the American way. Let's all get together and kill Jim Crow today.
That song still is... sadly, pretty necessary.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, John Gotthardt in Mendon, Massachusetts, just emailed. His name, I hope, strikes a bell. WUMB's Summer Acoustic Music Festival, Mr. Soundman. And he mentions how much he enjoyed working with you during that festival.
It's a good time.
Yeah, the Summer Acoustic Music Week at WUMB. And he's listening. And
hey, young man. Glad you are.
Now, we were talking briefly off the air about your work with kids. And I don't want to take you away from if you were planning on doing something different.
No problem.
I want to be.
Open. We're open.
Yeah. I'm so. I just value that work that you're doing so much. I was telling our mutual friend Rich that is the idea of going in and working with kids and helping them realize their lives are of value.
Well, the thing is, you know, when we go there, we only know the young boys' first names. We don't know why they're there, how long they're there, what got them there. But going there after a while, we get a chance to some of the young men will give us some of their background. We don't ask for it. We're there to do music with them. That's the most important thing. But some young boy, I guess now he would have been 16, 17 back then, he said two SWAT teams at two different times had come out for this teenager. He was selling drugs because the father had gone and there was no money in the family, and the only way to help to support his mother and his family was to sell drugs. He didn't go out to start doing it, but it was a necessity that he needed to do. So you find a lot of situations like that where they're not inherently bad, or they can be influenced, as we all know we all can be. And so you sit with them, and then you hear songs come out of them, feelings come out of them, words come out of them. I wish I could remember. There was a song. I got the words from this young, I remember him very clearly, 17-year-old redhead, light-skinned boy, who had been molested by his uncle and his father from the age of 9. Good God. And his song was so poignant. And what was so good is he was able to finally write about it, to get it out of himself. And then for me to try and put music to that, I think really helped the young man psychologically get beyond that which he'd been living with.
It's transformational when you're able to do something like that. And, you know, the root causes of these problems are not too difficult to understand. It's having food to eat, having a roof over your head, you know.
You need to look beyond maybe what they did as to why they did it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just pleased to know that you're doing that work.
I almost said no about doing it, but now I look forward to it. In fact, when I get back to Michigan, Mike and I are going to be going in with a new group the end of this month through May. And what we do is we'll work with an X amount of boys for 2 or 3 days. Then we make songs out of their stuff, and then we sing those to the rest of the school. And we ask the young men, they can do their own. Sometimes they just want music underneath them while they read something. Whatever they want to do, if they want us to read it or us to sing it for them, we'll do it. But we are presenting their music, their words, to the rest of the school.
It's a great great approach.
I thank music.
What would you like to
say? I'll show you another song from these young men. This young man came to me with a poem he had written about his relationship with his mother, and all I did was put music to it. But this is his story. My mama left me when I was just a baby boy. Seems I didn't bring her any joy. She left me with some people I don't know. Wonder how she could stoop so low. Well, she let my life just slip away. Not a note or word did she say. Not until the day I sought her out. And that's what this whole song is all about. It's you, mama, gotta love you. It's you, mama, gotta hug you. It's you, mama, gotta hold you close. It's you, mama, oh, I love her so. I wrote her a letter on a lonely day. Wasn't very long, 'cause I didn't have much to say. I told her that I was her only son and probably would be her only one. Said I wanna start a relationship. I promised I would not give her any lip. Then we started writing and talking more and more. Now I love her so. That's what moms are for, huh? It's your mama, gotta love you. It's your mama, gotta hug you. It's you, mama, gotta hold you close. It's you, mama, oh, I love her so. My mama was just another rocker girl, so I chose to try and rock her world. to surprise her was what I planned to do. So I went and wrote this song for you know who. Well, I love my mama with all my heart, and as a son I try to play my part. I have to tell her every once in a while how she always had the coolest style. It's your mama, gotta love you. It's your mama, gotta hug you. It's your mama, gotta hold you close. It's your mama, oh, I love her so.
It's unbelievable.
I'm telling you.
And it's your playing, it's your voice, it's you. And at the root of it, it's this kid's authentic heart and soul and thoughts being, as you put, conveyed through you. Wow.
I tell you, I haven't done that song for a while, but every now and then, just like now,
yeah,
I almost couldn't get through it because it starts to get me.
Well,
because I hear the honesty and the sincerity in this little boy. You know, he was the adult between the two, not her.
And the hope that he had of doing the right thing. That's a risk. You know,
yes.
That
oh,
he took,
oh, my gosh, yes.
And it paid off.
Absolutely.
For a fleeting moment, I was concerned about how it was going to...
Yeah, I can understand
but
that.
Knowing you, as I think I'm starting to get to know you, I had a feeling it was going to work out.
It was going to work out. Yeah.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I want to be sure that we get music in. There's so much I want to talk about. If you're just joining us, Josh White Jr. is here. He has been involved with some benefit programs for a Tuskegee Airmen Memorial, which is how he came to my attention as a guest today. I've been a fan of Josh's for years. But he's done some very kind work along with a gentleman named Rich Dieter and along with Regis Babanis, who is, you know, I would say of the Tuskegee Airmen, I think, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's maybe, there's quite a few men from southwestern Pennsylvania
yeah.
that were part of that elite
yes.
Corps. And if you've seen Chris Moore's special called Flyboys, it does a great job of shining a light on these Pittsburgh men. The men I mentioned earlier are working on a memorial that will be in Sewickley, a big a tribute display, if you will. It's more than a display, though, at the airport. And we're also working with our story boxes here at SLB to bring it to area libraries.
How good.
And that'll emerge soon. But I wanted to mention those men because they brought us together. And I like that.
And then I always have to also, and I don't want to assume all the time, but Eleanor Roosevelt played such a big part in those young men getting into the service. And unless you see this story, people don't know that these young men were qualified and ready to fly. But our armed forces, since World War I, said we were not smart enough to fly a plane. So Eleanor Roosevelt was at Tuskegee and with her Secret Service men, white men, and she went over and got into a plane with this black pilot, scared them to death. Mrs. Roosevelt, don't. Mrs. Roosevelt went up in the plane with this black pilot. He flew around, came back down. His wife was a pilot. She walked from his plane to her plane, got up and flew with her and came back down and then pushed that to FDR to put these men in the war, which was 1943. They could have been in there earlier, but because of that ignorance, they didn't. And never did they lose a plane. All the carriers that they never once, even, I love the fact that even rednecks who weren't crazy about us, when they saw those red tails, they felt comfortable.
Yeah. the red tails of, and there's, I mentioned Chris Moore's fine documentary called Flyboys, but there is there's a movie out, right? Red Tail, I guess.
Yes.
Which I haven't seen yet.
I saw part of that.
Yeah. But I'm glad to know that more, you know, it's one of, I'm glad to know more people are learning
more and more, yes,
about it, because for years I was not taught this growing up in history, and a lot of kids probably. In fact,
most of us did. We didn't know this.
In fact, I've even brought up to some youngsters who have been through U.S. history and who are now, you know, in their teens, and they don't know it either. Even in schools that are predominantly African-American, not that that should make a difference.
Not that it should, but, you know.
It's surprising.
It speaks loud and clear what's not being done.
Yeah. Josh White Jr. is with us, and it's just a blessing to have him here. I hope he'll be here again.
Why, thank you for inviting me.
Soon. Let's be sure we get to some more songs. People are loving hearing you.
People ask me, at times, what's your favorite song?
That would be tough. I mean, they're like children.
Yeah. You can't answer that. Yeah. Normally my answer is, and I put it together as to what has got my attention.
Hmm.
And it's normally the song you're writing and or learning or working out. And I've never done this on, I think I've performed this once. I'm still a little shaky with it. And it's James Taylor's fault. Because I watched the inaugural. And he sang this song. And it just spurned me to learn it. Radio while I'm talking to you, I'm trying to tune too, so I'll sound professional when
yes.
I start playing.
We always encourage tuning. You know, other places have a big sign that says applause. We have a big sign that says it's okay. I was just going to say Josh has a great 5-disc set called Anthology, which you can find silverwolfmusic.com. Mm-hmm. I've been enjoying it. And
oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. In fact, my wife, when she heard me doing this, there are 4 verses to this song, and this 4th verse, no one ever sings, and she liked it. So I thought, when I start doing it, I'm going to start with that verse and then go back to the first verse that everybody knows, which I'm about to do now, people. Patriot's dream that sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, shed his grace on thee, then crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain. Thy purple mountains' majesty above thy fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Oh, then he crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea, from sea to shining sea, you and me, from sea to shining sea, no matter your color, from sea to shining sea, no matter where you worship, from sea to shining sea.
I think you've mastered that song.
Well, it feels good, but it always feels good to you when you're working on it. But it's just, it's another way of interpretation.
Yeah, these, it's funny, these songs, well, love of country is not mutually exclusive with a desire for, you know, making the country a better place and or pointing out things that you'd like to see change. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a beautiful song, really, really yeah. Gorgeous. Josh White Jr. here. It's 10 before noon. We probably have time for two or three more songs.
I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna walk the streets of glory. I'm gonna walk the streets of glory one of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna walk the streets of glory. I'm gonna walk the streets of glory one of these days. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. Tell God how you treat me. Tell God how you treat me one of these days. I just love to bring that up every now and then.
I love it. I love it. So your voice is well, really everything about you. But there's something, and you see me taking my headphones off every
right,
now and
right,
then because
right.
I want to hear you
directly. As
you know, exactly. I'm required by law to wear headphones on, but I take them off every now and then. Whoops! I guess I did just tell everybody. But the resonance within your within your voice. And I don't exactly know how to describe it, except you were pretty much born singing,
very true.
I would think. And it just, it's just a wonderfully authentic voice to listen to.
I do appreciate that. And I know with my old man, with my sisters, all five of us sang. And I'm not speaking on my voice so much, but I'm speaking about what comes out. The old man said, if you're going to sing a song, you've got to believe it. If you don't believe it, the person you're singing to, you can't believe it. So, and then he said, make sure they can understand what you're singing. After those two things, sing anything you want, be it blues, be it whatever, but keep those the two things you have to do most important. And that's what I try to maintain.
Huh. When did your dad pass? Has it been?
1969.
Gosh. Longer than I realized.
1969.
And forgive me, I know I could have looked that up.
No problem. He was 55 years old.
Gosh, way too young. way too young.
I promise you, though, it was a full 55 years. I promise you that.
Yeah, and then some. Wow. Wow. Just if you don't know Josh White Jr.'s dad, you know, get to know him because he has a legacy of recordings available that are worth your perusal.
Oh, I am. There were recordings of my dad when he was a teenager that when I was growing up was not available. And a number of years ago, oh, I can't think of the names now, but a record company came from Austria, came here, got all the masters from the blues era in the South, went back, made them into CDs, and then re-released them here in the States without royalties, which we'll talk about later. But I got a chance to hear 18, 19-year-old Josh White.
I think I know the record company. They're kind of notorious for doing
yes,
that.
Yes, sir. So in a way, you're grateful because they give you music you didn't hear, but then it's all the, do it right. And
yeah, it's a little disrespectful. It's respectful and disrespectful at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh.
People.
I'm sorry that happened. Could you tell what happened? That was a string break.
I was tuning my guitar and tuning it up, and the string broke. Now, I don't know how much time we have, but I learned from my father. My old man used to break a string in the bag there. There's the top one. There should be a bag there. I just pulled that out. Yeah, there should be. There you go. So my father, you know, if you were a solo performer and you don't have another guitar and you break a guitar, you got a lot of acapella to do. So what my old man used to do, and I don't know, do we have time for me to change?
We have time. I think
let
we
me
do.
Show you.
And let me tell you, if you're listening on a station that automatically moves away if we run past noon, we'll make sure this is part of our archive of today's show.
So my old man would take the string out and start singing, "Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mom is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. Sorry about the snoozing. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. Then you'll spread your wings and take to the sky. But till that morning, there is nothing can harm you. With your daddy and mommy standing by. Summertime. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Well, your daddy's rich, and your mom is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. Summertime, summertime.
That's why they wrote the song. It makes perfect sense. Josh White Jr. and I, if you'd like to play one more, I'll have you play us out, but I'm just going to thank you for being here with all my heart.
You're very welcome.
And look for Josh White Jr. We've linked to his website. Thanks also to Shaler Area High School and Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh for being here, and to you for being here at the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade.
I'm gonna live life I sing about in my soul. Oh yeah, in my soul. I'm gonna fight for the right, shun the wrong, shun the wrong. Out in my street or in my home, if I have company or if I'm alone, I've gotta live the life I sing about down in my soul. Ah, yeah, in my soul. I say it every day, everywhere, on this busy thoroughfare. Some folks scorn me, they look down upon me, they don't like me. I don't care. You can't sing one thing, try to live another, be a saint in your church and a devil undercover. I've gotta live the life I sing about down in my soul. Oh yeah, in my soul.